All right, Rossi, what is the scariest thing that's ever happened to you in your life?
Oh, Christ. So
Like
many.
horror related, like not like,
Not
family
like
stuff,
my finger almost fell off, or.
like you got a good jump scare, somebody scared the shit out of you, something like that.
Somebody scared the crap
Oh,
out
you
of me.
scared the hell, oh, you, I've, isn't there a good PJ story where you scared the hell out of her?
Oh, we got our former roommate, listener of the show, Kevin and I. Yeah, once we I like literally had our friend PJ melt against a wall. Like this girl, I don't know how we did it. I don't know how, like, why was that scary? But basically, we just shut all the lights. This girl's an easy scare. You all have the friend in your life that's like the easy scare. Like you could just kind of jump out of a corner and go, ooh, and like, ah. So she's
Yeah,
like
you'd
that
scare the
times.
beans right out of her every time.
She's like times a million, like the most horrified person I know. So all we really did was just like hide in the dark in various portions of our apartment at the time, which could be rather dark. And literally just like jump out at her. And she literally at one point like was terrified. And I think this one specific time was I can't remember if it was when we were preparing for a Halloween party or if it was just a random day where she was coming up the stairs and I was just like hiding in the, we had like a front. The stairs are cut like she would be coming up like in front of me, if you would. I'm
She
in like
used
a
the
front
front
porch.
stairs?
Front stairs. So I'm in like a
Oh.
front porch. She wouldn't be able to see because it's pitch black. So when she was like going to open the door, I just kind of did like, and she like it is, I think she went through the door, like a cartoon cutout of her body was the door frame of her. Like it looked like a chalk of her dead body through that door.
That's pretty amazing. So mine is a little more serious. I believe I was a sophomore in college, and it was
Glory days.
probably a Wednesday or Thursday night because I was doing laundry to go out for the next night, Thursday, or some sort of a Friday thing. And I go to the basement around probably 1 a.m., 1:30, in my underwear, nice pair of boxer shorts.
Oh,
And
this is getting exciting.
yeah, the dryer's on one side of the room, the washer's on the other. So I go to the washer to get my clothes. And as I bend down to get the clothes, a person from the darkness leaps out at me, grabs me, tackles me to the ground. I wrestle with him. Luckily, he was on some stuff. I was able to pin him to the ground, look him right in the face, and go, Pat? It was a kid that I knew from high school who was so drugged up, he broke into my house and was going to rob me.
Wait a second, hold on. What are you like? This is like Kevin McCallister's worst nightmare. So there's
Yeah.
somebody in your basement and you had to fight them, basically.
I mean, it was pretty easy because he was not in a good mental state, but it was like a whole, like, he was like, ah, jumped out, grabbed me. Meanwhile, my mom is asleep on the couch the whole time, and this is loud. I was screaming probably like PJ was. So I finally am just like, what the hell are you doing? Get the hell out of here. And then my mom comes down as I'm like escorting him out the cellar door, which my dad left open.
So why did he come in?
To rob me. To rob my house.
Oh, so he had intention to rob.
I would
And then
assume
when he found
so.
out it was you. So when he found out it was you, he was like, I'm good. I don't want to rob it anymore.
I mean, I think I scared the hell out of him because I was able to get on top of him, but yeah. He
I
claimed
could
later
picture.
when I saw them that he thought it was his buddy's house that he was sneaking into. I was like, "Well, then why did you attack him?"
And I could just picture your mom, Billy, what's with all that racket down there? Quiet down. Mama's trying to sleep.
Well, if you talk to the average teenager of today and you ask them what it is about
Pop culture.
that they like, and the first thing they'll say is the beat.
Get yourself addicted.
Culture pile driver, get addicted to the content. I am Jason Rossi. You can follow me across all social media plaids at Jason D. Rossi. And you can follow our little show here at Pop Culture PD, which has gone almost dormant, Bill, ever since I realized we couldn't log it back in. But that's besides the point. At Pop Culture PD, hit that follow button and it'll instantly make you a trifector. What does that mean? You'll find out as the show goes along, or will you? And with me, as always, my tag team partner in the podcast, Fear. He is at Billy D 2411, only on certain social media platforms, because he's the bad boy of Twitter, getting booted off left and right. He's at Billy Yee 2411 at on the old Twitter machine. His OnlyFans up and kicking. I recently saw you did a neck up nude shoot, which was very intriguing, Bill. Yeah, think about it. Yeah, I can't explain it to anybody else. Just check out the OnlyFans. You can use this promo code Billy's Long D. Again, that's Billy's Long D. He is Billy D. What's going on, dude?
Hello, yeah, use that promo code. Although Kanye let the secret out that you can just go on Reddit and get everybody's OnlyFans. So the profits have gone down significantly. Yeah, you just type in your favorite OnlyFans person, do Reddit at the end, and boom, it's nudie time.
Wait a second. So if I put in Reddit, let's just say Billy D, and then it would show all your stuff?
If somebody ripped it and put it up there, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I imagine that would happen. Because I've noticed recently, Bill, I'm not a huge partaker in the old adult website scene too much. Not that I don't dabble here and there, but I did notice that a lot of OnlyFans are on these websites, even though it just says amateur OnlyFan. And then you see like the tag and everything. I'm like, oh, isn't this the opposite of what they wanted?
Yeah, I mean, they're making content, they're making money, and who can blame them?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I guess even if somebody's ripping it, that means somebody paid you to rip it. So
yeah, I mean, it's like any other kind of content. I mean, I can go and download illegally anything that's on Netflix if I don't want to pay for it, or music or whatever, you know.
We're going to get canceled for saying stuff like that. So today, Bill, it's been like 5,000 years. We've been way off our game.
2 weeks.
Personal. It feels like it's been forever. Do you have a Zelda picture behind you?
Which one?
Sorry, the one like that's right next to your face.
This side? This
nope. Side. Yeah.
That's Butters.
Oh my God, from this angle, now I can see that it's Butters. It almost looks like a Zelda, Link. But anyways, that's for those that are watching us on YouTube, which you can watch live when we record these episodes. You could also check it out post. By the way, we're at 97 subscribers on YouTube. Let's get to 100 if you can. If you can hear our voices, hit subscribe over on YouTube. Check out, search Pop Culture Pile Driver. You can also listen to us, obviously, on iTunes. We would love a 5-star review. It would help us immensely. Also, you can, again, we already mentioned at Jason D. Rossi, at Billy Yee 2411 on the Twitter, at Pop Culture PD. You can check out the merch, not only Pop Culture Pile Driver merch, not only all the DSG merch, but also some new shirts for That's a Chunky, Bill. What are the new shirts people can check out there?
That's a Chunky exclamation point. We're about to get to 500 sold, I believe, or if we haven't made it there already. You can get the I'm Afraid of How Much I Love Wine t-shirt. I made some tables t-shirts that should be up there soon as well. So go check it out. We got a ton of stuff. Even one of our friends, Jimmy Holland, is going to buy a Detective Crashmore shirt. So I like that. You know, just go out and support us.
You know what I like when people tell you things? You know what I like even more when they do it?
Yeah, that's true. Did he do it? I don't know.
We'll find out. You'll find out soon. But yeah, I'm sure he will. But yeah, so go check that stuff out if you're a fan like all of us of I Think You Should Leave. You can also check out the music that you hear on this podcast comes from Oh Yeah, any of the latest stuff from those guys.
So they'll be releasing a song, I believe, on Friday. They are also playing a show Thursday, not to date the podcast. That's and right. Then I'm going to be shooting an iPhone 13 exclusive music video for them for their latest song. I thought it would be kind of a nice hook because I think it would be like a cool thing to be like, this video was shot completely on an iPhone 13. And I think like Kid Cudi or somebody did it recently. So they kind of stole our thunder.
I like it though. It is a cool idea. You can check it out. Also, you can check out the nonprofit that we tie into with this called Frank's High. We'll be doing a virtual event. Found out officially we'll not be doing a live event this year. So, but we will let you know all the details come early January about that and some other things we may be doing. Obviously, Bill, we're here to wrap up our run of Scream reviews. You have watched all the Screams now. Well, at the end of this, we can give you a quick little take on which one you may have liked the most, even though we know which one you like second most. And we'll obviously get to all of our thoughts. But Scream 4 is the movie we're going to discuss today, Bill. I think this was a very interesting idea, definitely 10 years ahead of its time, even though there will be a Scream 5, or some people call this movie, I think it's called like Scurforming or something like that, because the 4 is in the middle of the word on the poster. It's very weird. And everybody, you know, it will, obviously they're going to put the 5 where, I think Paige said when she was on with us, it's like 5 cream.
Yeah, five cream. I like that.
Five cream for the new one. But in this one, it came out in 2011. We'll take that year in a second. But the IMDb info for Scream 4, Bill, 10 years have passed and Sydney Prescott, who had put herself back together thanks in part to her writing, is visited by the Ghostface Killer. This movie stars, returning stars, David Arquette, Nev Campbell, Courtney Cox. We have Emma Roberts, who seems to become like the Scream Queen once this movie came out, because she's just done everything horror, from American Horror Story, the show Scream Queens. She's always involved in horror projects.
Little Italy.
Yes, what a horrifying movie that was. Hayden Panettiere, Meow. Anthony Anderson, Adam Brody, Rory Culkin. Mary McDonald plays Kate Roberts, which we'll get into that character, how the Roberts and the Prescotts are tied together. Shirley Shelton, we get a great performance. Anna Paquin, that's what my son calls a penguin right now, Paquin, is famed from True Blood. She's in this movie. Kristen Bell, Lucy Hale, Shanna Grimes. I'm trying to think if there was anybody else super famous. Oh, and obviously Roger L. Jackson returns as the voice of Ghostface. Bill, this movie was released.
Did you say Alison Brie?
I didn't say Alison Brie. And for some reason, in the thing I post, oh no, very last one on the list somehow, Alison Brie, who, by the way, I will just say this, and maybe I'm being overdramatic, can't tell. 2011 to 2013, whatever that year came out with that Jason Sudeikis movie, Alison Brie, top 10 hottie of all time.
Oh, one of the hottest
in that era.
Her in Community, she is just an absolute sweetheart of a girl. And yeah, I could go on, but I won't.
I'm being like, maybe top 10 is very dramatic because there's extreme.
No,
like,
I mean, she's just the girl got that look about her.
Yeah, like that girl next door and like that complete like whole, like she grows on you. She grows on you. It's like a drink or maybe a piece of a foreign food you wouldn't think you'd like. First you try, you're like, the presentation's nice. You taste it, you're like, yeah, okay. Then you're like, oh, I really want a lot more of that. I feel like that's Alison. Like, she is legit, like,
I mean, all
girl next door.
Yeah, for some, sure. For me, right out of the gates, it's like, good Lord.
Yeah, well, yeah. We all have our flavors, you're right. And I feel like Emma Roberts, in a way, is up your alley, but maybe not.
No, not even a little bit.
But she has the Bill. How about High School Bill would have loved Emma Roberts?
If she had an emo look to her, maybe.
I feel like she kind of naturally does.
Maybe a little bit. I could see where you're going there, but just too severe of a face. Very severe.
Very severe. Coming in with this movie was released on April 11th, 2011. Bill, what was the price of the average gas for that time frame in the United States?
This one's tough. 2011, I'm going to say it was $2.34. $3.85. Oh, this was the gas crisis. Good Lord.
Yeah, we were getting ham-boned at this time. These are tough here. The number one record in the United States, it features one of your favorite artists of all time.
2011, one of my favorite artists of all time.
Yeah, you swept this person to this day. You swept.
Okay, so it's Kanye. Is it Estelle and Kanye?
No, good guess. That was a little bit earlier.
It's
one of the judges on American Idol.
What the? Kelly Clarkson? I don't know.
That tells you everything you need to know about American Idol in 2021. It is.
Oh, well, Katy Perry?
Yep, Katy Perry. Do you know the song?
No.
Katy Perry and Kanye West, 10 years ago.
Was he featured in I Kissed a Girl and I Liked It? I don't even know.
The song is E.T., the extraterrestrial there.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Song sucks. Song glows. Yeah. Number one movie was an Easter movie.
Fun the fuck's fact. An Easter movie?
Exactly. And it's a cart. It has animation and it has like half real people, half animation.
Roger Rabbit.
Great guess. The modern day Roger Rabbit.
Fuck.
Not that either. No.
Is it the Twix? The Twix guy make a movie? Trix guy? Trix? I have no idea.
Not the Trix, nor the Twix, left or right.
Number one movie?
It was the number one movie for 2 weeks. Slow time in the box office.
No idea.
It was a movie by the name of Hop.
Never even heard of it.
It's a good one. You should check it out. I watched it with my son in his first Easter, which I feel like was 2 years ago, but I can't remember. Time just goes. The WWE champion was...
John Cena.
Very good guess. Not quite yet. It was The Miz.
Oh, all right. That's great. Good time for The Miz.
Yeah, no, it was horrible, actually. But this...
was that the Hate Me Now WrestleMania?
This was the Hate Me Now WrestleMania. WrestleMania 27, one of the worst of all time, had The Miz retain the championship due to interference from The Rock, and he was concussed. Actually, a pretty interesting matchup, but just a horrible, like, that should have never been the main event. But good for The Miz for doing it. Talk about, what do they call when you believe things to happen, the manifest destiny or something?
Oh, yeah.
Good for him. And the world champion, this is a very interesting fact here, the world champion at the time was?
The Great Khali.
No, it was... Edge.
Oh, all right. On this day.
For one more day, then retired.
Then Edge give it up. Yeah. This is the Undertaker WrestleMania.
He retired. No, this was the Alberto Del Rio WrestleMania.
Oh, okay. That makes
opening match. So he actually retired the next day on April 12th and then obviously returned in 2020 after 9 years off. So yeah, Edge was your world champion. Then after him, it was Christian.
Was it vacant, though? Because I would have loved to be able to guess vacant.
The next day, if this was released the next day, it would have been vacant. But by technical term, he was the champion on this day. He saw clearly. Scream 4's IMDb rating was 6.2 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 60% critics, 56% user. That's an
interesting come on.
Yeah. Metacritic gives it a 52 out of 100. Google, 83% approved, which is the highest since the original Scream. Roger Ebert said, gave the film 2 out of 4 stars, criticized the film for using cliched formula of the slasher genre, but complimenting Craven's direction and Williamson's dialogue. That's not the most cliche formula that the slashers do. Well, that's what it is.
It's a slasher movie.
Exactly. I agree. Empire gave the film 2 out of 5, criticizing the film's old-fashioned formula and lack of scare factor. I can feel that one. New York Daily News thought it was a dated and relying on obvious cliches from some iconic the things that aren't iconic anymore. And it was just easy. What? Toronto Sun gave the film mixed reviews, writing that the installment is nowhere near the hip, blast newsiness that the original 1996 was. Suddenly, the horror thriller that like your parents are excited about. However, the review praised director Wes Craven. That's just being a dink. Colin Covert of the Minneapolis Star Tribune gave the film a perfect score, Bill. A perfect score. Praising the combination of scares, comedy, and twists. In the Boston Herald, our own area, wrote the film often amusing but too long.
I would agree with that. A little bit long.
Often amusing but too long. Okay. Bill, would you want a 1-star or 10-star review from IMDb?
Always bad news.
Okay, 1-star. An empty shell. I don't think I can say this guy's name because I think I'll mispronounce it and be canceled. This is an empty shell of the original. I'm baffled with why it's highest review ratings that it has. I consider it the worst of the all Scream movies. Horrible. Just horrible.
This guy's a piece of shit.
Yeah, wow. 10-star review. I actually like it more than the original. Whoa. Then he starts off with just a little bit. I just love the gem of a film so much. It's hilarious, it's suspenseful, and it's got some of the best leads in the franchise. I will throw a spoiler out there. I don't think there's a lead in this film. It says, I can't be the only one that laughed a lot at the lady shopping at midnight, and I love the part that they still stuck in the 90s. So that will lead us in, Bill. Curtain Jerker, Scream 4, Billy D, did you like it?
I loved it. Absolutely loved it. It was phenomenal. I thought it was absolute and utter delight.
Wow. That is a glowing review. I remember seeing this movie in the theaters, date of release, and was confused on how I felt right away. It was great to see some of our old friends back. Mm-hmm. The one thing I think, I guess we can get to this. Did I like it? Yes. Overall, yes. I remember seeing it and not loving it when it first came out. I think revisiting it, I think the bar has been lowered since that time with horror remakes. And they, like, this was during the era of like the Halloween, like Rob Zombies in that time. So it was like, oof, those movies kind of blew. Well, the second one did. So I was kind of looking for something good. I thought this kind of hit. And I think right now it's kind of odd because we're in the same kind of parallel where there's been a lot of movies being remade or reinstalled. And we're kind of like, Scream, you got a chance here in Scream 5. But overall, yes.
They went full meta in the opening scene twice.
Yeah.
Loved it. I ate that up. And you know what it did? Because I had the same criticisms, and it was on purpose that the girl in the second movie had watching Stab 6, and it was really Stab 7. And I just thought that was a great way to get into it, to kind of set you back in the mood of the Scream universe. I just really thought it was a nice way to get you into this movie. And because like you're like, oh, this is dumb. And it's like, all right, that's the movie. Oh, that's the movie again. So kudos to Wes Craven. Brilliant open. Brilliant. Yeah. And again, continuing the tradition of great Scream opens.
Yeah. Kevin Williamson probably going to get more of the credit on that because he's back. He wasn't in Scream 3. We talked about that recently with Rich Keefe. You can check out the archives. Talk Scream 2 with Paige Fabretti. And she's on so many different outlets, the Schmo Show, all that. And then we also had Ben Zwyman for our original Scream reviews. You can check all that out at the Pop Culture Pile Driver, whether you're in the YouTube, wherever you get your podcast, we can be heard across all platforms. But yeah, like I loved it, Bill. That's actually one of the things that stuck out to me. I think this is right up there with the original. Now, the original's iconic. Now, don't get me wrong. Nothing's comparing it. But I thought for what it was trying, like how it's different, but yet similar, they did a great job. Like you said, the film within a film, you had all stars at the time. You had Kristen Bell and Opaque when you had Lucy Hale and the girl from the remake of 90210, which name escapes me. But you had four like young, hot in multiple ways stars at the time, putting them in there and basically murdering all of them in fiction within a movie or reality within the movie.
And wasn't January Jones the one set in real life too?
January Jones? No.
Who was the girl who got killed in real life? No?
In real life, isn't that Lucy Hale?
Oh, is that? Okay.
Yeah, Lucy Hale. And then I think, what's the other girl's name? The one that was in, the one from Stab 6 was, I think her name, something Grimes. So Lucy Hale and Grimes were in Stab 6. Anna Paquin and Kristen Bell were the ones in like the Stab 7.
Okay, well, whatever it was, and we'll get to casting in a second.
Oh, you're thinking of Amy Teagarden. Amy Teagarden. Is that who you're thinking of?
Yeah, probably.
Who gets there?
Yeah.
Who actually does? Yeah, it's threefold.
Yeah, which is great. I loved it. It was just, like I said, the best way to get you in, and you're like, okay, now I'm invested once again in this franchise. Three again for me, I liked. It was good enough. The ending stunk up the entire house, but this is where I want to be in my, you know, horror sweet spot. It was way more gruesome, way more violent, way more graphic, but it wasn't still too over the top for me.
No, and that's a great point. We talked about this with Keith, but again, in Scream 3, this came after like months after Columbine, so they toned down all the violence. There was none of that in 2000. Well, there was a lot of crap going on, but there was no studio having pressure on them. They let it all hang out. That opening kills, like, it's just bloodbath. They are just guts, slashing, stabbing. Like, you see it all. They went hardcore in this. Real, real hard. So, you know, next up, Bill, we usually dive into the casting. What did you think of the casting of Scream 4?
Once again, home run, out of the park, grand slam, whatever you want to call it. Everybody was cast, I thought, very well. You know, the six hotties that all got it at the beginning, very well done. I loved Alison Brie. Again, once I saw her, I was like, she's in this fucking movie? And then Emma Roberts is in this movie? Hayden Panettiere is in this movie? The guys were lesser known, but I still thought they were all very well cast. They all
very hot.
Fit the role.
They were very hot men.
No, only one kind of teen dream there, and it was it Derek?
Trevor?
Trevor.
You weren't a Robbie fan. Not a Robbie fan. You're a Trevor guy.
Yeah, Trevor was the guy probably stirring the drink there for the ladies in the
Rory Culkin there. Not digging Rory Culkin's looks.
Which one was he?
He's the one that looks like Macaulay Culkin because it's his brother.
No.
No, okay.
Nothing. Yeah. But it was very well casted. Obviously, the returning cast, pretty much just the big three players. They were great as always, but I really loved what they did. Hayden Panettiere killed it.
Yeah, she's the star. I believe, and I know other reviewers, I've heard this, and I thought this from day one, and obviously there's spoilers here. So she's right up there with me for the loss of Randy, because I felt she had the heart, the soul. She was, they did this thing with her character that I found fascinating. In most horror movies, you have the nerd that knows about all the horror tropes, right? You have the hot girl that's relatable but yet intimidating. And then you have like the, you know, the person that's kind of like in a starring-ish role. Those are usually three different roles. I feel like they kind of pancaked all that into her character. I thought she was fantastic. I thought she was someone like the most likable character of all too. Because again, as I said to begin this, like, I don't know who the star of this film was. This film didn't have like, we're being told the story through like Neve Campbell was not like Sidney Prescott was a B player. I felt like for the most part in this film.
And it then felt it pretty dewy out. Heavy at times. It was well spread out, but I do agree they didn't kind of pick somebody to focus on. And I think that's what made this a little bit more tough for me to predict who the killer was, which I always love. And Hayden Panettiere, I don't think they played up enough of her. They dropped like the, oh, you're the reason why I love horror movies, was so excited. Yeah. But I didn't get the full Randy vibe until the end, which I wish they played up a little bit movies? More. Yeah, when she's doing the movie thing, but when she's also doing the trivia thing when they first get to that house.
I just think she came across like, and not, there's the hot intimidating girl. They had the other girl who I call her Yellow Bra, who was kind of more that role. So she was able to play like the cool role, which was like pretty interesting for someone who was like pretty damn popular at the time, coming off, you know, Heroes. And I think what was the name of that movie I loved? Beth Cooper.
Dancing
like,
movie?
No, it was like, I Love You, Beth Cooper, which is a nice little rom-commer for the teen, nice little teen rom-com. But yeah, I thought she was good. I thought literally they did a great job across the board. Even we mentioned Alison Brie.
And Seth Cohen.
Seth Cohen was, listen, as that small role, first of all, he blows my mind why that guy didn't hit a little bit more. He had a B-roll and like D-roll in this, D-roll in Jennifer's Body.
See him as Seth Cohen.
He's amazing. God, I love Adam Brody. I feel like he's a guy you'd want to sit down with and probably not want to talk to after 6 minutes.
Probably. He has that super like annoying vibe to him. But the second I saw him, I was like, oh, I know him.
Seth! I remember screaming it in the theater because the OC is one of my all-timers. But okay, Bill, that's for our casting. What would you say about the acting and writing, the speak and spell of Scream 4?
Besides a few hit or miss lines, I thought it was great. I thought the plot was pretty tight. Obviously, there's going to be some, you know, theater of the mind or I got to let this go because it's a horror movie. But I thought it was well assembled, as good as the first one from a script top to bottom. And very few plot holes, really good twists. They kind of kept me guessing the whole time. I have it here in my notes. Like the first person, I was like, oh, is that cop that went to school with Sydney? She's kind of creepy.
Yeah, I like
don't
her.
Love her. But after that one, I was just like, you know what? I'm not going to try and play detective. I'm just going to enjoy the movie and, you know, soak it in. And there was like a lot of the times I'm like, oh, Penstroke could fix that here. That's a fucking terrible line. Besides Dewey's acting, which I don't know if like David Arquette is just a bad actor. I haven't seen him in anything else. That probably says he's a bad actor. He's just fucking terrible to watch.
This was not a star performance for him. I feel like they've ran out of things for that character and they just kind of strung him along because they were still married. Courtney Cox, this is going to sound horrible. I'm sorry. Tough to look at in this film. You could tell there's a lot of plastic surgery going on around the time. Yeah, it was just, I hate to do this because I understand, but like, man, this is just not it. I think this was during the time of Dirt, which was a very underrated show on FX. No, that already had happened. So yeah, obviously Cougar Town was like,
I didn't mind it.
What?
I didn't mind it. I always like Courtney Cox even today as her, you know, Botoxed up, kind of puffy. She's still one of my classic hotties. I'll take her.
No, she's, don't get me wrong, gorgeous woman, but just a lot of work being done there. With that being said, the only thing with like the writing of this film is once you find out who the killers are, which we'll get into, like some of the fight scenes, I hate to do this. This is the problem with Scream. There's the big issue I see, at least after the first one, or maybe after the second one. When you find out who the Ghostface is, I guess the best way, because there's kind of two characters, right? Like Ghostface is a character, and then like the killers are a character. And maybe that's just me. Like, I don't look, like when you're watching the movie, when I know who the killers are watching it back, I don't.
Yeah, you're like, how the hell is this lady or a slight man stabbing Anthony Anderson through the fucking skull? And some of the things, like they're tossing him like, like rag dolls. Even when she bodies Sydney in the hospital, I'm like, she's not picking her up. Like, I'm not picking her up and throwing her into that.
She turns into like John Cena in the middle of this. But yeah, mm-hmm. like the character that Emma Roberts plays is supposed to be the one that fights with Gail Weathers in that like barn scene too, which, what a cool party, by the way. I would definitely go to that party. But like, get out of town. Like, that was absolute junk. That was the Cho Jeans moment for me of this movie. It's just absolute junk. But other than that, I loved having Kevin Williamson back. You could tell by the way it was written. These characters pulled it off so well. This new core, I really liked. I think there's another thing. Like, they came across likable through the writing. Like, I thought these younger new crop, even the boyfriend and girlfriend of Emma Roberts and Trevor, like, I liked them, even though you were super suspicious of him. And I liked Rory Culkin's character. I just thought everybody, like, there was nobody I was like, rolling my eyes or like, they gotta go.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't establish a lot of depth within these characters. And unfortunately, Hayden Panettiere was the most, to me, three-dimensional person. And that means it meant a lot when she died. I enjoyed that. Yeah. Not the fact that I didn't enjoy her dying, but it was like a meaningful kill. I wish they kind of kept somebody else around, because now one of the big three, obviously, is going to die in this final movie. And fine. I just wish they kept one connective type tissue person around. Because they killed fucking everyone in this movie.
Yeah, and a lot of gory deaths, as you mentioned. Next up, Bill, Hit My Music. What did you think of the music?
Didn't notice it for a second. And again, I say it's like good umpiring. When it's good umpiring, it's fine. The score I did notice at points was a little bit tighter. It was a little more classic horror, but they still don't have like a Ghostface song. And, you know, I love Ghostface Killa. So, you know, I wouldn't use him in this, but I do like the fact that this movie, when he's on screen, there's no, it's just no real music at all. You can barely hear anything. It's fucking, to me, it's more terrifying.
Yeah, no, I can see that. Cause it's not like Jaws. There's no lead up. There's no punchline. It's kind of like, oops, crap, we're in it. I will say, for the actual soundtrack, this was like one of my favorite times for like pop, punk, rock, the sounds band you like, Bill, all over the soundtrack. All over the movie. So good. God, the lead singer of that band, what an absolute
An absolute pistol.
Oh my God, I think it's Maya, I forget. I think I interviewed her once, but I can't remember now. Ida Maria, who was a pretty interesting act at the time. The Chain Gang of 1974 is on this. A band called Say Hi, who had a little bit of a run there.
No Red Right Hand, from what I heard either.
Not on the soundtrack, especially. I don't know if it was in the... I don't think it was in the movie.
I was listening for it. I would have actually liked it if they threw it in somewhere, even on somebody's radio. It's going to have a connective thread throughout the four movies, but hopefully they bring it back, because I actually didn't mind that as their thing.
Yeah, like theme? Yeah. I bet you'll hear it again. I actually don't have nothing specific for this, but you haven't acted out here, Bill?
Yeah, and I actually do think that this is what kind of sold me in the final scene, that I was like, oh, it's fucking Emma Roberts. And then she was like, that's sick, right? Sick is the new saying. And then like her whole thing about like, you know, nobody wants to work anymore. You just be famous for doing nothing, which was kind of like over the time. So yeah. I did really like that scene. And once again, it's an homage to the first one. And the only actually thing that I would have liked, going a little bit off topic here, in that final thing, is that they were like, yeah, that director guy, he was fucking lying. He didn't help him at all. Like, just to, like, kind of skirt Scream 3 under the rug.
Bill,
he was lunatic acting alone.
You watched the film. There was no Scream 3 in this movie.
No. And you know what? It's fine.
Aside from Cotton Weary's death, there is no reason you can't go 2 to 4. Unless you just, Cotton Mary's not around anymore, which could have been fine. 100% caught in my ass.
I'm telling you, those two little kid killers could have fixed it. By the way, this was the best job they did of casting kids who looked like teenagers.
Yes, even, which is funny because none of them really were, but they did look like it.
They looked like it because Billy Loomis looked like he was 25.
But I think he was actually young. I think both those guys were technically young, but it is funny you say that because I was going to bring this up. Rory Culkin looks like he's 12 years old compared to either one of those guys from 1996. Now, that's just progress in life and changes. We see that like when I look at a 16-year-old now and I compare it when we were 16, I'm like, that guy looks like an absolute child, mm-hmm. like a 4-year-old. Looks like my son, who's not even 2. But yeah, I do agree with what you said there. The only thing for act out, like for me, like I loved Ghostface, like complete psychopath in this one. Like, No joke. No holding back. Like when Sydney's on the phone, it's like, I'm in, you know, I'm going to get you. It's like, no, you're not. It's like, you say one more word and I'll kill you like your mother. And it was like, whoa.
Like yeah, this I'll slice your eyelids open so you can't blink while I'm stabbing you to death.
Unreal.
And that was crazy. This was intense.
It was. That's a great way to put it. That's why I don't agree with what they say, like with the, you know, these reviewers saying like, oh, it's just hitting the, you know, the tropes of all slashers.
That's what it is, though. That's what this whole thing is. Not even they're literally trying to recreate slasher movies.
Well, that's a great point. That's the point of the film. And I just think like they also took it to the next level, in my opinion. Like this Ghostface, you just said intense, vicious. When he kills the room, the girl, like, I never, like, you're not in my closet, opens the door. Like, I never said your closet. Like, so holy smokes. Brilliant. That's the scariest part of the movie.
Yes. Back and then he literally, like, you see her insides on the bed. It's quick.
Yeah, rip the guts out.
But it was, that was a massacre. Like there was blood. That was the first time that it was like just blood everywhere.
It looked like he like had, took like a sawzall and like ripped out, or they, whoever that kill was accredited to, like just, you open that door. Like that's the thing that sucks. Like obviously these movies, obviously if you put them in reality, like these parents are going to be like, what the hell? And then like, obviously horribly sad. But then like, imagine that scene.
Oh yeah,
and why did this happen? Oh, because some jerk off kids want to be famous, which is, I think, one of the best reasons of all these films for this to happen. And obviously the tie in with family, which, what are we doing?
I did love the it felt like 3 minutes of just Emma Robbins kicking the shit out of herself like she was Jim Carrey in Liar Liar in the fucking bathroom. What it's are you doing? Unreal. I'm kicking my ass. Like I loved it, and I love the way she did it. She like ran the knife into herself, up against the wall, headbutted the thing, threw herself into the plate glass table. It was really well done, and I knew Cindy wasn't dying because I know there's a Scream 5 at this point. It's kind of like your theory, but I did love her just dying quotation marks next to her. It was just really well done, and the people who, you know, you're the countless reviews that says horror movie tropes, like that's what this is. Like you don't get that. Like, did you not see the other Screams?
That's like saying a comedy just went for low ball comedy. It's like,
no, that's like saying a spoof movie relied on jokes of other movies. It's like, yeah, that's kind of the point here. That's exactly what they're doing. Like, this isn't technically a spoof, but what the kids are doing is they're doing recreationists of slasher movies. The that were from the exact, like,
they within have a world
within the world.
Yeah, that's a great point. And yeah, it's almost like these reviewers just watch a movie and had to write something down. Bill, what would you say is the most memorable point or thing from Scream 4? What would you say the legacy of Scream 4? Because I have a lot of trouble with this.
I'd say it's the new, like, new crop of girls. Like, they just,
Hot babes.
A little bit. It was like, you know, they rolled out the casting list and they were like, all right, let's just get every hot young girl in the business and throw them in this movie. But that was the first thing that I said once all three of them got in the car. I was like, okay, I can get behind this. It's a new group. It's not really so focused on Sydney. And they found a nice way to kind of connect it.
Yes. Lazily, I think a little bit. Again, we had to go down this road, but much better than Scream 4. I mean, 3.
Yeah.
For me, I have trouble. Like, what is the most – I almost feel like – I know this sounds dumb, but I almost feel like the most memorable part is that it's like kind of its own new, like it's almost like a standalone film in the Scream franchise, because 1, 2, 3 was clearly a trilogy and they had all their reasons to end it the way they did. 10 years later, they decide we're going to go back to it. And now we're going, which would be like 11 years later, the next film. So to me, it's almost like that it stands on this island. And I think, as Roman Reigns would say, the island of relevance, because I think that's almost what makes it special. Like, I feel like if this came out 2 years later, it'd be a whole different movie, clearly. Like, the growth of these characters from the past of Gale Weathers, Dewey, and Sydney would be different. So I kind of like that it's kind of stands off in its own in this distant, faraway land from both. Because I assume Scream 5 will have enough success to make a Scream 6, which I imagine will be within 2 to 3 years. So, I don't know. I feel like that's why this thing's going to, like, when people look back at all these things, this will almost be in a weird way, like the Halloween 3 season of The Witch, but not in a bad way. You know, like it's so different from the others, yet it relates in.
I can see that a little bit. I feel like even Scream 3 was connected enough in the universe. It just had a bad killer. And you literally could have just changed his identity. Well, I thought the plot was okay. I think you literally just could have changed his identity, made him someone else, and gave him a little bit better of a backstory. Because you get the backstory, you know, it's all in the end. It's like the reveal of a Law and Order episode or something. Like, yeah. All comes out in the final act. There's no, like, piecing it together. So I think this one is just – I get what you're saying, but I'm like, this is so – it's more like the first one than any of the other ones. And, you know, we'll rank them at the end. But, like, one's clearly the best. Three's clearly the worst. And, like, two and four fight for that second spot on the Mount Rushmore.
Agreed. And we'll see if, you know, three can even last after five. But five could also be a big stink fest. Bill, the then, now, forever, will or has this movie stood the test of time?
Yeah. I mean, for me, I fucking loved it. I would watch this again, and I don't really enjoy – like, this to me is, I don't know, my in my top five favorite horror movies already.
Out of five you've watched. Mm-hmm. I would – again, you have to watch A Babysitter. I would say it doesn't actually stand the test of time, in my opinion. I think it's been 10 years, and I don't think this movie really is talked about much. I don't think people really, like, when you discuss Scream, it's really the original. It's still, even though there is multiple, it's the one franchise, because I still believe this, and I said it earlier, I think Ghostface is an entity, and then the killers behind Ghostface are his own, like, side plot. It's almost like a weird Scooby-Doo situation, where, like, the monster's its own thing, and then when they pull the mask off, it's like, oh, like, I feel like it's separated. I don't know how to, like, say it any better. Like, I feel like Ghostface is his own thing that stands out always. But I feel like this movie specifically, again, we talked about it, a little long.
And yeah, you could chop, no pun intended, like 25 minutes off, make it a nice tight 90.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I just feel like there's not, like, there's nothing that makes you go, oh, remember that. Like, that's an iconic scene. There's nothing about this that has the iconicness of even the first two film. So I'm gonna say
a couple of the kills right off the bat, like, I'll remember, I had the clear line that was fucking great.
No, the movie, I like it. It's not, I just look at, like, what I like, if you were rank out of the 2010s all horror movies, I don't even know if people even look at this film. So that's where I kind of look at, like, does it stand the test of time? No, it's not an all-timer to me. Pull apart of this one, Bill, any extra nonsense we didn't get to through our review here you want to splat out?
Yep. Fucking, you're going to Woodsboro, bring a fucking gun. I mean, I know that would probably end the movie sooner, but, like, just, like, maybe they can't shoot at him. Like, call the fucking cops earlier. Stop fucking dicking around calling Dewey. Fucking call 911, they'll call him. Like, a couple of those things, it's like, and Allison Brie, stay in the fucking car. Like, what are you doing? Just start beeping your horn. Go crazy.
Stop wearing heels. When you're around murders, if there's a murder anywhere near you, ladies, women, anybody or who likes to fancy themselves in heels, don't wear them because you're not
going
to get
fired. If I'm going to a haunted mansion where fucking fuckers might fly out of the fucking wall at me, I'm wearing my running shoes. Sorry.
No, absolutely. You never know. And you know, it's very true. And you definitely don't want anybody to have the worst day at their job while this happens. I am intrigued, Bill. Who did you think the killers were?
So, like I said, I thought the lady cop off the bat. And then I was like, you know what? I'm not going to try and guess. Obviously, it comes into your head. I was like, Hayden Panettiere, maybe. At times, I was like, she could be in on it. And then I knew one of the video kids had to be doing it.
Yeah, I thought it was the more super nerdy kid. Eric, I think, or that might be his real name. Robbie.
So if I had to pick gun to my head, he seemed like the one that would be doing it. That's why I would have picked the other kid. Just out of sheer, like, well, you're trying to make me go here, so it's probably this guy.
My original thought was what you said. I thought it was the Sandlot babe there, the cop. You know, if you remember, she is the lifeguard from the Sandlot.
Ooh, is she really? She kind of looks like the woman from Mad TV who made an appearance on a few Scrubs episodes.
Oh, she kind of does. I know who you're talking about. Wendy Peppercorn there. But yeah, I thought the story where, like, she was high school with Nev Campbell. I think that was all, like, red herring, of course, which might tie in as she will be returning back in Scream 5. So maybe she takes a twist. But yeah, I thought her or Robbie. And then the other part of me was like, it would be interesting if it was Jill Roberts and Trevor, the boyfriend, because I thought you knew they were trying to do something to the original. So a part of me is like, once it was revealed that it was her, I was like, oh, it's going to be the boyfriend. And then they just murder the boyfriend right there. Trevor just gets killed. Mm. Everybody, like you said, everybody dies.
Get shot in the dick.
Yeah, that was unnecessary. Just kill me.
you know, I did kind of like it. It was like, ah, you cheated on me. Oh, all right. Boom. She lets him suffer for probably a good 17 seconds at least. So that was nice of her. But wow, that was crazy. Also, the Anthony Anderson stab in the head to me was the craziest kill of them all. That was wild.
It was, yeah, it's like everything they try to do with this in the second scene there with, was it Omar Epps or in the in the second opening? And they just stab him in the face. Like, take that times 10, scream 4. We're ready to kill bitches and bloody it up. But I will now. Well, so then you thought that's who you didn't do your guessing all the way through. But were you satisfied with these killers?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. Besides the fact that they were like slight of frame and they were kind of, they did get tossed around. And they did show her when she was regular lady. Emma Roberts fucking throwing her through a window. I did like her crazy switch and like the way her eyes looked in that final scene when she was like telling people to come here and there with a gun. She fucking stone colded Dewey with the bedpan, just beat the shit out of him.
Just pound him right there.
He's gotta die. Just kill him.
I'm going to be very emotional once it finally comes out. I did want to let you know before we get to our rating here that Scream 4 won an award for best horror movie and Ghostface came in third place for best villain at the Virgin Media Movie Awards.
All right, nice.
Best horror movie, 2011, lost to Paranormal Activity in the Teen Choice Awards in the same category. So tough competition there. Scream 4 also... says that this is one reviewer said, in the years since the release, many credited Scream 4 with foreshadowing the effects of social media in today's youth and extreme lengths they will go to achieve internet fame.
Not bad. I mean, it was already pretty prevalent at that point, but
yeah, but maybe not to this next level, but obviously now it's like TikTok and all these different places where the kids are. Bill, what would you give Scream 4 as a rating?
I would give it a good old-fashioned 6.9, actually.
Wow. It went actually a little lower than me, which I thought you liked it more than I did. I gave I gave it a 7 out of 11.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, to me, it's nowhere near the original. Like, the original is, to me, a perfect horror movie, not that I know horror that well. This one has many levels down. The acting's not as good. The original cast, the comedy's lacking. There's a lot of things that aren't as good. But it's enjoyable. Like, it is enjoyable as hell.
Yeah, I still will say right today, even though I just watched this, I would go Scream 1, Scream 4, Scream 2 for if I would watch today. But overall, I think it's Scream 1. It's hard, but I'm going to give Scream 2 a slight edge, not a large edge, over Scream 4. Then I don't even count Scream 3. I think Scream 3 could kick rocks. I think it's one of the worst movies of all time.
Yeah, it stinks. You know what? I don't think it stunk. I mean, maybe I need to watch it again now, having seen 4. But, I mean, just change the identity of the killer. I don't think it was that bad.
Yeah, well, that's great. I can't do that, though. I have to
I know, but, like, yeah. I would probably put, I don't know, I forget what I gave 2 a ranking of, but it should be a little bit higher than whatever I gave this, because I put 4 ahead of 2 by a little. Just because I hate killers in 2 more than anything. There were, like, the car scene in 2 is probably the most tense moment in the entire franchise. So that gets the credit there. This one was just wild.
Yeah, this is just front to back, gore, insane. We're going hard. I think the one thing this holds us back to is that, like, we didn't really get a ton into, like, the Dewey and Gale storyline, but they really kind of were, like, just kind of there. Like, they were trying hard. Like, they weren't their normal, like, share. Well, like, he was obviously in the cop, but, like, Gale Weathers is, like, not where I thought she would be. Like, she's not like some world famous. She's like a stay at home. I don't think she's a mom. She's like a home wife, right? Is that like her role?
She's writing another book.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. That was just strange. And Sydney, wasn't all that. I just feel like it was almost like they could have almost. Now I know they couldn't because of how they tie in, but like it almost could have like went away from like the old cast in a sense. But I think it was smart for them.
I think this is what the next movie's probably going to do.
Yeah, well, we shall see. We're a little under 2 months from that release. Scream. Or 5 Cream will be coming out in January. So we rank this one. So you're going Scream. What's your rankings then? Is it Scream 1, Scream 4, you said? Then 2, 3?
1, 4, 3. Yeah. 1, 4, 2, 3.
I was going to say 3. Anybody who puts 3, I want to hear them and I want to hear long arguments to why it would be better than any of them. I could see some people putting it ahead of this film only because it's the original 3 in nostalgia time, but it's not a good film. It's just not. Just
not good behavior.
It's not good behavior, Bill. It's
I don't care about it.
Just stupid. Billy boy, what's in that head that needs to come on out?
Honestly, I was going to ask you a favor. I need you to do what you did for Keith a few years ago and recommend me 3 or 4 AEW matches that I need to watch.
I'm going to tell you right now, one, recency bias, Hyper Billy. You might know a thing or two about that. MJF, Darby Allin, Full Gear this past weekend. Holy cow.
MJF,
I believe it was the match of the night. It was a very stacked card. But I will get you that list. I'll give you like 5. I don't want to overbear you. I don't want you to go crazy and stuff you could probably find on the free interwebs. But yeah, I got one quick criticism with AEW though. And I'm a big, like, AEW is the flavor of the month, and which is good. This is what WWE has needed for years. I think 2022 is going to be WWE's comeback year, in my opinion, because I think they'll finally be pushed, maybe stop releasing so many talents so people can invest. But Bill, the one thing about AEW that I think they need to, is strong. I tweeted about this. I've gotten an argument now on Twitter. You have to be very careful. It's like attacking the Taylor Swift fans, I guess, on the internet, because they'll come at you in your DMs. They don't even reply to my tweet. They don't make me more popular. They come at me in the DMs. But their shows are too long. $50 though. I'm paid $50 out of pocket. So I understand like our return on investment, but I still rather pay $50 for like what NXT was 2-3 years ago. That's still, I think, the iconic way of doing it. Top line, and I know there's only 4 years, and this is the argument people say, but I want 3.5 hours for absolute maximum. But this show, pre-show starts at 7. The show didn't get over till just past midnight.
No, now you're in WWE territory.
That's what I'm saying. And I get the argument. They're saying that you're paying 50 and it's only 4 times a year. But I don't care. Like, it's my money. I'll choose what to do with it. I just want it to be like, give me the best of the best. Give me the top, like, 5-10 matches isn't horrible, but like, then you have to have a couple quickies in there. No offense, WWE, the one thing they've done for years, they've given you that squash or that like 6-minute match. And people somehow make that like, that's some sort of like disrespect. But we grew up in the Attitude Era. The most popular, for some reason, people still cream their pants for it. Go watch like No Way Out 2000. There's about 5 matches and they're 6 minutes long. You have like Rikishi versus Val Venus. Like, it's nonsense. It's quick.
Attitude Era wasn't really about the wrestling for a large majority of it. It was about the storylines and, you know, the women and the catchphrases and Stone Cold, Rock, all that kind of stuff. So
absolutely.
And NXT was 2 hours tops in its prime.
It was like two and a half, absolute max. 5 matches, 4 title matches, 1 blood feud. Good. But I get different. But my thing with AEW, here's my point, that this MJF Darby Allin match, which I think you're going to be absolutely love. The crowd was insane. Everything was great. This had a bunch of great matches. Don't get me wrong. But when you have 10 wrestling matches and very little promos in between, no hype videos, like it's weird. Like, it was really strange. It was because my wife stayed up for at least 2 hours of the show before she just finally conked out. And she even said it, like, we went right after one match. It's like, this is where you got to give me a nice promo segment, something in the back, something hyping Kenny Omega versus Hangman Page for the finale, something. And literally outro, intro, outros, intros. It was very strange.
And that's what I think, you know, I have my criticisms of good old, what's his name there on the Something to Wrestle With podcast.
Oh, Bruce Pritchard.
It's a variety show. You need all of your elements in every show that you do. And I think that WWE just has that down. And I think I do want AEW to be different, but it's still professional wrestling. It's still the foundation that was built, you know, even when we were kids, you know, way back in the day, or even like he came up in the Southern promotions and it was still the same things where they did local TV. They still had the promo. They still had the valets. They still had the backstage segments. They still had the hair versus hair match. I never mind this match is scheduled for a 15-minute time limit.
That's one thing I'll give AEW. They do that side. But I just think, like, right after hot match ends, I think their theory is, and this is, I'm putting more words into Tony Khan's mouth. I think his theory is, if the crowd's hot, don't give him a second not to come down. And I get that. Like, it's like a concert. A lot of people's argument to me is like, when you go to a concert, do you want like one of the big pop songs and to go to an old song, or do you want to keep rolling? And I say, I'm not watching a concert. I'm watching a wrestling match. I'm sorry. It is different.
Well, but it, also when you go to a concert, they usually do like three big songs, and then they kind of it's like a wedding. They go a bunch of hip hop and dancing R&B songs, and then they go, all right, everybody, yeah, let's slow dance now. It's an ebb and flow, and I think that's with everything, with writing, with TV. You got to have your peaks and valleys. Otherwise, you can't be up the whole time. You just can't.
I agree with you. Like, even in concerts, like, if I'm going crazy at a Jimmy Eat World show, and I'm thinking, wow, I might just be like, I need to cash out during a song I shouldn't. Like, oh my God, here comes Big Casino, and I want to keep watching, like, rocking out, but I need a break. I need 30 seconds to go grab a water.
Yeah. Throw in 23 there, whatever you need.
Yeah, give me a song. Yeah, bring it down for a minute. Bring it down. But yeah, I will get you that list. Anything else been kicking in your world?
Not really. Kanye released his song that I've heard a bunch already with Andre 3000. It's nice to hear him rapping again. I would love to get some new stuff from him. In the time that you've been gone, I was featured on the Dork Podcast with the Should I Have Bought This? I bought an Outkast Atlanta Hawks throwback jersey that I wore for my more regular podcast, the Pineapple Boys. So, yeah, but I haven't really sat down and watched anything new on TV quite a bit.
Have you watched Curb yet? Are you Curb? I always forget
it. I watched the first two seasons. I like it. I just haven't invested.
Okay. This season's really funny again. I feel like they're hitting – the shows should not be this good this late in their run, but – it is. It's like, I don't know how to explain this. It almost looks like Local Access the way it's filmed. I know you've seen it enough.
Oh, it's very real. Like, it's very, like,
like bad, like, it's not, it feels like it's almost like not 1080p, even though I know it is. It's weird.
You know how when you go over somebody's house and they didn't take off that, like, factory setting where the characters kind of look wonky from, like, the display in the studio where it kind of looks
like. You know what you're talking about? It, like, it moves differently?
Yeah, you're like, what the fuck? You didn't change your TV yet? Like, every time I look at it on HBO, I'm like, what the hell? It's a little off. It's, like, very just plain Jane. There's no, you know, I went to, like, an editing conference that was basically for beginning editors. But they did, like, do a color correction. It's, like, they didn't put any, like, color correction on it. Just, like, fresh out of the box. This is what it is.
Here it is. Go get it. And you know what? It's going to be one of the best return on investment shows because Larry David writes it. Him and Jeff write it. And they star in the show. So it's got to work out for them. But, yeah, that show, we've been loving that. I'm trying to think if there's something else we have watched. I don't know. It feels like it's been a weird couple of weeks. But obviously now soon we'll get into our swing of watching horrible Christmas movies. So, looking forward to that. Let's see what's going on in the DSG. This week in
the Shared Gooniverse.
Alrighty, so in the Shared Gooniverse here, we had me on CCM. We were not talking hockey equipment, but we did draft with Shime as well.
CMM.
The 1999 movies, and I gotta tell you, I absolutely cleaned house. I got The Matrix, I got Cruel Intentions, I got Office Space, and that should win it for me. Right there anyways.
You know what Office Space is, Bill? You know what that is? That is a
cult classic.
Cult classic.
It actually might be. I don't know.
100%. It was not popular in theaters. VHS and Blockbuster like sold out of these.
Yeah, I got the movie Go, which apparently nobody else has ever seen. Good movie.
Wait, people haven't seen Go? Isn't that with a very young Katie Holmes and
Taye Diggs?
Yeah. That movie's awesome.
Yeah, which Fryer thought was genuine for some reason, which is pretty hilarious.
Not gonna touch that one.
And then Mack and Goo did the 1989 classic Aliens. I think they're also doing something with TLDR. They talk books. I think they're doing some sort of draft of mutants.
Yep, something like that. Some sort and of then, extreme men.
Yeah. And then Dork did what I'm very jealous of. They talked Squid Game. It was amazing. Excellent breakdown from the boys over there. And then did I miss anybody else? Oh, the Pineapple Boys will be off Thursday. We'll be doing Friday because Thursday night the Psych movie debuts. So we're going to take a break from our regularly scheduled programming of Psych content, you know, episode to episode, and do a quick review of that film. And then
there's a new Psych movie?
Oh, yeah. This is Gus. Oh, yeah.
Wait, just Gus?
No. It's called This Is Gus.
Wait,
like, This Is Us?
Which WWE stars? I have not seen any commercials with them.
Oh, you know what? Was there a WWE star in the second movie, though? I don't know if there was.
Was it just the first one with Charlotte and Big Show?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They've had John Cena. We just did an episode where they had Mickey James. USA. Yeah. Their characters. characters welcome, I should say. And then Shine Time be twitching, Davey be twitching, and Backcracker, of course, be twitching. I think he has a Madden game at around 10.
Oh, well, very much. Everyone stop what you're doing. Lock down for that thing. Bill, yeah, aside from that, we'll be kicking up the content here. We'll try to be consistently at least through the end of this year. We did talk off cam, so we can announce this now. I think the best way to do it is to do, like, maybe not every year because we're not going to do this necessarily forever, but you never know. But at least the beginning. Well, I don't mean that in a bad way. In 2042, you think you're going to be sitting here doing this?
Yeah, who knows?
Right, listen, only one could hope. We next year, you kind of, not challenge, but we came up, we did The Office. I think we have to wrap up The Office in these next
years.
I think we just got to get one. And I'm asking Lucy to do it. I'm tired. I don't want to hear some excuse like I'm not allowed to do podcasts either. Because don't call me. Don't text me. Don't tweet me. That's bull crap. I'll call the company. I'll put in a formal request.
BetQL.
Bull crap. Bet my ass. That's what it is. It's good for her. I'm happy that she's doing well, but that's an absolute bull crap. You can't be on a podcast. Like, that doesn't make any sense. She just don't want to do it anymore. But with that.
Can you blame her?
Absolutely not. I would have done. Listen, if I want to get out of it, I just at least say, hey, Bill, I got my anniversary. I can't do it anymore. My job doesn't allow me. Anyways, all jokes aside, we'll get her in. Maybe we'll do like a round table because I think we just had 7, 8, 9 as the end of what we needed to do. And I think we can just lump it all in. Because I stopped watching it in the middle of season 8.
Oh, yeah. It gets pretty bad. Mac and Goo trivia, by the way, tomorrow night at Idle Hands.
For the Office,
Commercial
right?
Street. For The Office. So make sure to check that out. I will be there early because I think seating is going to be tough.
What time is – well, you know, we'll talk about this after. So we'll wrap that up in before we get out of 2021. But New Girl is a show that Billy is challenging with. Never watched it. So we'll take that in on 2022. So if you've yet to watch the show or looking to rewatch it, we'll do our weekly we'll do our season breakdowns at least. You know, we'll try to bang – because how many seasons? 8?
I believe there's 8, yes. And we'll get Shine. He was very excited about this. He is the new girl. He came up with the idea for the – PCP or Pop Culture Pile Driver, The Loft, a new girl podcast, new girls, new guy, or something like that. It was a nice long gooish title.
What are you talking about?
So we're going to call it PCP, New Girl, Season 1, The Loft, New Guys, New Girls, or something like that. It was a good title. Be long.
What? We're going to
You know how this is called, like, Pop Culture Pile Driver, Scream 4, Episode
1? Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Okay. You meant the title of the podcast.
Like, Those Office People?
Yes.
We're going to have a really long title for what we are with New Girls.
Got it. All right. So me, you, Shine Time, we'll rock that come January. We'll binge that show because I'm assuming we're going back to kind of like The Office, right? It's full-blown, like, 20-plus episodes in the beginning.
Yeah. I mean, Maybe they were a little bit
less. I hope I like it. I think I will.
And the first few episodes are good, and then it really kicks into high gear. And then once you hit the Winston seasons, it's all gravy.
All right. We'll get there. Don't ever tell me to just breeze through any seasons because that's one of my biggest pet peeves. I'm not saying you did that, but when people used to tell me – I still haven't finished The Wire because people used to tell me, you just got to get through the first 2 seasons. It's goddamn 20 hours of my life. I'm not just getting through.
No. See, people recently, I think our guy Mac watched it and said, nope. All of them are pretty good.
What, The Wire or New Girl?
The Wire. Like, every episode's pretty good.
Oh, get out of town. There's so much dialogue in that show. You need to be full. You need to be a firefighter to watch that show. You need to save lives on the daily because that show can literally – it's amazing. It's good dialogue. Don't get me wrong. I get why people say what it is. But, like, when I was watching the show, whatever it was, like, over a decade ago, and watching it with friends, like, you can't talk. You have to pay the hell attention. Like, this is...
I like that in a show.
Well, 59 minutes of it, too. It's on 43. You get 59 of McNulty talking. So, get in there, Bill. But yeah, we will talk New Girl in 2022. We'll have some fun the rest of this year. Appreciate you guys listening. Don't forget, you can find us across all social media... Well, I shouldn't say that. All podcasting platforms. Wherever you get a podcast, including a number one in India podcast. We rank like 6,412 last I saw through Ghana. Ghana is the platform in India. We have like 50 listens occasionally. So
Dork was like 7 on that list.
Of course they were, bastards. We have one country. I thought we had one country. They're on Ghana too?
Mm-hmm.
Keith must have usurped my Ghana fame. our Ghana fame. I think it's you, Bill. I think it's you. They checked out the OnlyFans. But I appreciate you guys listening. Please do subscribe. Leave a 5-star review. Follow this son of a gun right over here at BillyYee2411 on Twitter, at BillyD2411 across all other social media plaids. I am at Jason D. Rossi across them all because I don't get kicked off just yet. But appreciate you listening. Hope you have a great week. And let us know your rankings. Where does Scream 4 rank in it? To go one, I assume one, but let us know. Where do you rank all four Screams? And we will be back next week. Do you have any final words for the fine folks, Bill?
Slap it on the biscuit.
Frank says hi.